Welcome back to Travel Bags with Anita and Friends. Now, I'm glad you all are joining me today as I continue my series of human interest stories where I feature a very interesting personality highlighting a great destination so that you will be inspired to visit that city or that location. And today I'm speaking with the Gala Chef. That would be BJ Dennis. So thank you, BJ, for staying with me again. So let's talk about your food. I mean, what is your inspiration?
I think initially it was about representation in Charleston. I know we got great mom and pop restaurants in the city, you know, but I didn't see the representation in this full capacity. You know, I didn't see the vegetable forward cookery that I grew up eating, you know, the farm fresh. I saw too much stuff coming out of cans. And, you know, Charleston became this mecca for food. And I wanted to show people, well, this is the reason why this city became the mecca for food. Why are you coming here? Is because of this culture that was doing all the cooking and the agriculture for the most part. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that evolved honestly into a history. And I call my cooking ancestral cooking, trying as much as possible to understand the old ways, things that were lost, mm-hmm. bringing things like benne back into the food.
And benne is
the African sesame seed. And actually, the other day I made a dish of pounded benne and grit. You know, pounded the benne out, toasted it. Because I was reading old narratives about the enslaved were using the benne seed and putting in their daily allowance or weekly allowance of hominy. And I said, I wanted to try this. Because they knew that the benne had so much protein content that would supplement their lack of protein that some of them were not getting. And, you know, it's just, for me, it's become more of almost research, you know, understanding that certain things have been lost. But, yeah, I call my food seasonal from the land to the sea. What's coming off the gardens, what's coming off the land, what's coming out the sea. Trying as much as possible to support our local farmers and fishermen. Because that's what I saw growing up. Mm-hmm. You know, with my family. You know, I never ate, you know, coming up, I never ate big shrimp. My grandfather, you know, we say netter man. He was cast net. Though this cast net, he would leave out 5 in the morning. Mm-hmm. You know if the tides were, everything was right. Get out in the Wando River, out there outside of Mount Pleasant, and he will go. And I have a funny story. My aunt, my youngest aunt, she said to me one day, she said, my grandfather passed about 5 years. And she was reminiscing. She said, boy, BJ, I look back at it now, and we ate like kings and queens. We didn't realize it. She said, when daddy would have to leave, go out in that river, and we would dread him coming home, because guess what? The boat be full up. Everything. Shark, catfish, bass, crab, shrimp. And we had to get there and clean all that stuff. But now I look at these fancy restaurants, and this is high-end food. Mm-hmm. This is the stuff that we lived off of. Mm-hmm. And she said, I got an appreciation of this now. Mm-hmm. And that's all I ever wanted to do, was kind of, to honestly, I want my food to honor those who came before me. You know, I want to showcase that it wasn't just fry this and fry that. Mm-hmm. You know, my grandfather said point blank, I ate more stew fish than fry fish.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to see these things and talk about these things with my cooking. Mm-hmm. So that's what kind of my direction, my food, that's what I'm about with my food base and, mm-hmm. and my narrative about food.
Absolutely.
This new project you're involved in, can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yes. So there's a new project going up in Bluffton, out there in Beaufort County. Well, Bluffton is pretty much an extension of right next to Hilton Head. Low Country Fresh Market and Cafe. This market will be partnering with the Gullah Co-op farmers in the area. 11,000 square foot building with a full kitchen, bakery, prepared food section. And the premise is, you know, we're going to get as much as we can from local farmers, local artisanal makers who are making their own sauces, jams, jellies, chips, spice blends, you know, and we want to support the community as much as possible, black and white. But we really want our Gullah folks to start to be able to make product now, and you have somebody to buy that product from you. Mm. This marketplace, I think will be a game changer. And this is actually my first brick and mortar project. Because people have been asking me for years, when are you going to do a restaurant? When are you going to do a restaurant? But I always wanted to do something that I thought was going to help have an impact own the community. Mm-hmm. I just didn't want to open a restaurant and say, hey, come in and buy my beer and my liquor and my food. Mm-hmm. You know, even though I still would give back in some facet, I wanted to do something and say, okay, here, you farmers now, that you may be farming 20% of your property. Now you can farm 70, 80, 100% because you have a place now that you know will buy that product from you.
Right.
So the people who brought me on board, I'm a true believer in this mission, and I will be the culinary director and partner also, which was another big thing for me. You know, I've been an entrepreneur for the last 7 years with the catering, and I said if I'm going to tag on with anybody, it has to be a partnership with some type of equity involved. Mm-hmm. So not only I am the culinary director, I'm a partner also with this project.
Oh, that's very cool. Very good.
You've been to up and down the United States and the various things along the Gullah Geechee corridor. Do you see a difference in the different Gullah Geechee areas, or do you see them pretty much as one people with slight differences?
I honestly say I see us as one people. You know, some, you know, for example, Sapelo is not as accessible as going to John's Island or James Island. Some places are a little more developed. But, you know, even like back home and on James Island, there's still areas where, to this day, I call out my oyster man and say, hey, you got any oysters for me? They still quart them up. They still shuck them raw, the cluster oysters, and put them in quart jars. And I can call my shrimp man, and he like, yeah, I got shrimp fresh from the boat. I'm not paying that middleman price. Mm. I'm getting shrimp, still getting shrimp at $2.50, $3 a pound. You know, the food, you know, the red rice. You know, the devil crab. Mm-hmm. You know, the okra soup. You know, we're the same people. I mean, and granted, everybody does something different. Even in your own community. Mm-hmm. This person makes their devil crab with this.
Yeah.
This person makes their devil crab with that. This person likes to make their red rice a little more wet. This person likes their red rice drier. But it's all the same spirit.
But now, are there some ingredients that are kind of, that you would say are more the ingredients that you would find in Gullah Geechee food? Like, I know I remember Miss Cornelia Bailey, she would say that, you know, here on Sapelo, you know, you use onion, salt, and pepper. You know, it's like you didn't use a lot of other kind of spices and things like that. So,
you know, I think that just attests to the cook. Mm-hmm. and your experiences
and what you had, what was available.
If you're somebody that came out of a family who came out of a Your great-grandmother was a house cook for one of those big homes in Charleston. Mm-hmm. You might have had more accessibility to spices. Country Captain is a dish of the low country, a curry dish. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a friend from John's Island who said her father always made stuff with curry.
So that's not what you would think.
Not what you would think.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's all about the cook. I mean, but granted, I would say that we are a salt and pepper culture. But that's also because our ingredients were so fresh, you didn't need much to them. You know, honestly.
You can really taste the bell pepper. You can really taste the onion. You can really taste the okra.
But there are people who, you know, had the herb garden. Now, granted, herbs, a lot of times for us, herbs were a lot for medicinal stuff. But, you know, you had people who would have the exotic spice, made their own spice blends. I mean, the ladies on the city market to this day have their different spice mixes. Blend. You know, that was in one of the families, I can't remember her name right now, family been on city market since 1880. And she said they didn't just do spices back then. They did vegetables and all that, but they've been doing spice mix. So, you know, that's the beautiful thing of the culture. It can be nuanced and varied throughout. But the spirit of the food is all one.
You know, I always say, too, you know, that the spirit also, too, with us, with our food, is a lot about love. That's how you show love.
Yes.
Love and caring.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. If I cook for you, you know, that's a sign that, you know, I honor your presence.
Yeah.
You know, because believe me, I love cooking, but I won't be cooking all the time. I mean, this is my career.
Right, you know? Exactly.
I want to taste somebody else's hand.
Right.
I want to sit down sometimes and just relax.
That's right. You want to sit down sometimes and do a little grubbing yourself.
Right.
Now, we'll stop here for a break, but when we come back, I'm going to pick right back up with my conversation with BJ. Back in a moment here on Travel Bags with Anita and Friend. The show today is brought to you by the Sapelo Island Birdhouses. Visit their website at sapeloislandbirdhouses.com. And the music as we go out today is Gambia. You just heard BJ talk about the country Gambia and his visit there. Now, when we come back, we'll continue my conversation with BJ here on Travel Bags with Anita and Friends.